Hey there, 614 Startups community. We're thrilled to share some exciting news with you. This podcast is proudly supported by Loop, the game changers in return management. Not only are they revolutionizing e-commerce, but they're also on the lookout for talented individuals to join their dynamic team. Looking to be part of a company that values innovation and fosters a vibrant culture? Well, Loop is the place to be. Check out their open positions at loopreturns.com/careers. And here's the scoop. Loop has been recognized by Forbes as one of the next billion-dollar startups of 2023. Want to be part of a success story? Now's your chance. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Head over to loopreturns.com/careers and be part of something extraordinary. Loop, where innovation meets success. Apply now. Startups Nation, welcome to another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. My name is Elio Harmon. My mission is to help you attract the clients and access the capital you need to build your dream business. Like a good guest, wipe your feet at the door by hitting the subscribe button and come on in. Today, we're going to be talking about Techstars Columbus, powered by The Ohio State University. And here to enlighten us on the subject is Tim Grace, Managing Director of Techstars Columbus. Tim, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
All right. Brand new, newly minted Columbus resident. Ready to get to know you, Tim. Are you ready to jump right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, big question here, man. You're a guy all about Techstars. When you go to your LinkedIn, you can see that. You're also all about startups. But how did you get your start in this world of startups?
I feel like a lot of people, probably for all the wrong reasons. So this was like 2010, which was a couple of years after the last sort of recession, tech bubble. And so we'd all sort of forgotten all the lessons, that we should have learned, from that time, and it's back to a startup boom again. And so I, again, like I think many others at that time, I had been a product manager in a corporate setting for a number of years, and I just wasn't that challenged anymore, and bored, and sort of looking for something to excite me. And at that point, especially if you worked in tech, like joining a startup was sort of the path to, greater challenge and excitement. At least certainly that was the narrative that was woven for us. And this goes to show like how scrappy, founders can be. And these founders that I ended up working for, that experience changed my life in a lot of ways. The company didn't, but the experience did. These guys were actually moonlighting as iOS app developers. So they were contracting out like work to build iPhone apps. Because again, this is 2010. This was a very specialized set of skills that you had to have. And most companies did not have those skills in house. So if you had skills to be able to build, for iOS, like that was sought after. So I hired this team to build the iOS app for the company that I was at the time. And I got to know them and, we got to be pretty close. And, they were like, hey, look, our actual company, which is this SaaS product, is starting to, to grow and take off. We could really use someone like you to come in and help kind of grow our capability from a product perspective. And so I joined. And the business, I spent a couple of years in that business. We made many, many, many mistakes, many rookie mistakes, I think that founders and early teams make. But I had a strong enough relationship with that founder CEO that I ended up working with him again on another company. And that company was what introduced me to Techstars. So happy to jump into that when the time is right. But that's sort of how I got my start in startups, was just jumping in, feet first into something I totally didn't understand at all because I was bored with what I was doing
before. Yeah, Tim, I'm going to name drop on you here because you just said you got bored, right? Man, but listen, guys, listen to this resume of where Tim was bored. No, I'm just kidding, Tim. But apartments.com, all right? Signal, okay? Trunk Club. All right, holla at me, Trunk Club. All right. Tie Bar. Holla at me, Tie Bar. I need something on the neck. All right. So these are companies, household names for people like myself who love, you know, to get dressed up. But when you say bored, right, or looking for that next thing, I think there might be some people here who are listeners of the show, because we have an audience of people who are working in large companies and they want to go out and build their thing. Kind of, you went out, made a lot of mistakes. This is some advice time, right? You might have stubbed your toe a couple of times. If there are other people out there listening to you and say, hey, Tim got bored, Tim went out, Tim built something, what would be your advice for people who might be kind of in that space, thinking about going out on their own based on the lessons that you learned going out on your own?
I mean, I think you mentioned a lot of those places. You know, Signal, that was the company I joined after apartments.com. So, you know, no knock on my former apartments.com colleagues, many of them who are still friends, but that's where I was bored. And, you know, I jumped into Signal, which is the first startup I joined, and ended up, you know, transitioning from that into Trunk Club, which was, I was employee number 20 or so of that business. And it was a complete rocket ship the entire time that I worked there. And while my experience at Signal was the exact opposite of that. And I think had I not had those two experiences, I don't know that I would have been as prepared, you know, to be a founder, certainly to, you know, be credible in the kind of startup ecosystem, to understand what that sort of trajectory, that growth trajectory looks like when something is working, and, you know, what some of the things, you know, that are the like you said, stubbed your toe, the kind of standard things that trip founders up, which I absolutely experienced. Like having those two, you know, like in on my resume before becoming a founder was super critical. So in terms of advice, like I would say, you know, it's a huge risk to jump into starting your own thing. So if you don't actually have something that you're super passionate about, that like feels like your life's mission that you want to go, you know, jump into and work on, which I know a lot of people who, you know, are like interested in the world of startups don't quite have that level of connection with an idea yet, I would highly recommend go join a company that you admire, that you think is fast growing, that's relatively early. And, you know, hunt for opportunities like that, because that will be an incredible teacher, to give you a framework of some things that you observe that worked well, that you want to replicate, some things that you observe that aren't so great, and, you know, will prepare you as a founder in ways that, I think would be hard to get if you, you know, kind of jumped into, you know, founder life without that sort of context.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, Tim. Take that advice. That's advice probably earned in the school of hard knocks. All right. Join a company that you admire and learn from them, particularly if you're working with a startup founder you also admire, right? Or on a team with a leader that you admire and that you could learn from. I think that's solid advice. All right. So you ran the gamut, man. You startup employee, you're a founder yourself. Now you're an investor, managing director over at Techstars Columbus. What is the most important skill you feel like along the way that helped you succeed in your career?
I'm going to, you know, violate the premise of your question, because you said one skill and I'm going to give you two. I think it's curiosity and adaptability. I think those were the two things that have served me the most. And I think the reason why super talented, smart people get bored sometimes or looking for challenges is because they have this, you know, deep inherent curiosity, you know, to learn, to, you know, try new things, to be pushed. And I think if you kind of have to have that as a prerequisite, you know, to jump into a world of, you know, sort of chaos and the unknown, which is 100% what startups is. And so I think that has served me really well in that I have approached most opportunities with very little ego and, you know, mostly just, you know, this insatiable desire to, you know, put myself in situations where I didn't really know what I was doing and, you know, kind of to learn, you know, by experience. And I think adaptability is key, because if you have a rigid point of view on how something needs to be done and you apply that in a world of, you know, very, very, either as a founder or as an early employee of a startup, you will absolutely fail in that job. Like, there is no rigid definition of what is going to work in that sort of context, because every single one of those contexts are different. And so you have to be able to, you know, take, yeah, you're going to have some perspective, you're going to have experience, you're going to have a point of view, that's all great. But if you're not able to adapt that to the context that you find yourself in that sort of early stage startup experience, then that's where I actually see a lot of super talented people who are very, very good at what they do fail as, you know, sort of, especially as early startup employees, because like they just aren't able to take this track record of excellence that they've had, that had a very clear, you know, kind of playbook that they executed on in their past lives and like brought that to startups. And like, it just doesn't work like that. So I think those curiosity, adaptability are the biggest ones for me.
Yeah, the longer I'm in business, the longer I live, the more I realize things that I thought were nature are actually nurture. So the thing about curiosity, right? Oh, he's just naturally curious. Well, that's a skill. And my question wasn't completely violated, Tim, right? Because you still focus on the fact that these things are skills.
Yes.
Right? You gave us two skills that we could learn. And, you know, maybe this is something that you could come back and help us create some content on. How do you learn the skill of curiosity? Right? Because some people might think, hey, you just are naturally curious or you're not. How do you learn the skill of adaptability? Some people feel, hey, he's just a flexible person. That other person is just rigid. That person probably because of their natural leanings will work well in a startup and maybe that person won't. But what you're saying is these are skills. So I'd love to dig into that more with you, maybe in another setting about developing skills that you wouldn't necessarily consider skills just by the traditional definition. All right. This is the big question here.
Oh boy.
All right. Because you are the managing director of Techstars Columbus. Big news when this came out that we were going to have a Techstars accelerator here. So what is Techstars Columbus powered by The Ohio State University? And why did you choose to become the managing director?
Well, I can't answer the question of what is Techstars Columbus without answering the question of what is Techstars. So maybe I will start with that. So Techstars, we are the world's largest pre-seed investor. We have been in this sort of early stage investing game for well over a decade. And so the way that we sort of invest in companies is through our accelerator programs. That's sort of the entry point that, you know, that we have that gets us into this sort of early stage ecosystem. And so we run about 55, I think, accelerators across the globe. And these accelerators, essentially what happens is we identify exciting companies, early stage companies that, you know, we want to back and believe can be, you know, transformative sort of category defining businesses. We invest some capital in those companies. And we also, you know, bring them into an accelerator experience that's 13 weeks long, where they spend a ton of time with our program team. So in Techstars Columbus case, me and my team, Danny Rose and Gabby Rudd, and we expose them to a ton of mentors. We expose them to a ton of, sort of content and programming that helps enhance their ability to grow their business, to build product, to, you know, think about fundraising, to think about the internal operations of their company. And then we put them out there in the world in front of audiences of investors that they are well matched to based on their category and their vertical and, you know, what they're building and what stage they're at, and, you know, basically support them in their, next sort of journey in their growth and funding. So that's generally what Techstars is. Techstars Columbus specifically is really came about, and you know, obviously most of this is, you know, is out there in the public, but so I'll try to not belabor too much of this. But if you've heard the name Ratmir Timishev, great. If you haven't, you should definitely look him up because he is a wonderful human being. He is a multiple time founder who came to the US in the mid 90s to get his master's degree from Ohio State, ended up starting his first company at Ohio State. It's called Alita Software. It was like software for Windows NT administration. So all of you who were alive in the 90s would probably know who were an adult or a semi-adult in the 90s might know what I'm talking about. And that business was very successful. He sold it, ended up using some of the money that they got him and his co-founder, Andre, got for selling that business and went in and started their second company, Veeam. And Veeam is in virtualization and software management. If you're in Columbus, you've probably seen Veeam offices, you know, that are here. Ended up selling that business for $5 billion, which makes Ratmir a billionaire. And, you know, what he has done with his, you know, with this status that he now has is he's actually looked to give back. And so he gave a $110 million gift to Ohio State to create the Center for Software Innovation, which has multiple pillars and many objectives around, you know, sort of becoming a center of excellence at the university level for the craft of software. And Shireen Agarwal, who runs the Center for Software Innovation, is great. She's a strong partner of ours here at Techstars. And so part of that gift that Ratmir gave Ohio State decided that it made sense to partner with Techstars to kind of be an accelerator, you know, sort of arm of what the Center for Software Innovation is doing inside of the university. So that's how our program came about. And so what we exist to do is to try to find the best companies we can anywhere in the world that are working on some level of software innovation, bring them to Columbus for 13 weeks, expose them to everything that Ohio State can bring and everything that Columbus, Ohio can bring to the table in terms of, you know, mentors and corporate partners and, you know, networking, new early employees, you know, interns, you know, all of that. And, you know, many of those companies are going to then go off, you know, back into the world and create a tremendous value, you know, for all of us human beings and for, you know, for us as investors, Techstars and Ohio State. And, you know, that will sort of bring, you know, the assumption here is that it'll bring the sort of necessary attention that should come to this community and this ecosystem around what is possible to build in Columbus. So that's a little bit of background on why the program exists and sort of what our aims are.
Yeah, man, I think that was amazing overview of the program, how it came to be and what the mission is. So Ratmir, holla at me, man. Give me a call. Let's chat. Let's do coffee. Okay.
I might be able to hook that up. We'll see.
let's hook it up, Tim. I would appreciate that. In terms of this big mission, right? This big vision. I mean, Ratmir comes off the sideline. I want to give back. I want to give to my alma mater. I'm going to put $100 million down. We're going to set aside part of it. And we want to invest in companies. You see that opportunity. What about that opportunity says to you, I want to apply for this. I'm the guy for this. I'm the managing director with the leadership, with the chops, with the ability to bring in startups and get them ready to scale. Why did you want to take on this challenge at this point in your career?
Well, I don't think I can answer that question without talking about my history with Techstars. And so I alluded to this earlier when I was talking about my experience of, you know, joining a startup, you know, for the first time. But I actually did a Techstars program in Chicago in 2016. And that was supporting, you know, as a co-founder to Jeff Judge, who was the CEO of Signal, the first company, the first startup that I joined. And I kind of came in as Jeff was entering Techstars Chicago, which as a solo founder doing a Techstars program can be somewhat challenging. And so you often try to find people that can come in and support you, you know, during that time so that you can focus both on the business and on, you know, sort of being a good participant and learning the most and, you know, getting the most value out of the program. So I was kind of that person for Jeff. And basically that 13 weeks that I spent in that program completely changed the trajectory of my life. That program had two managing directors. One was Troy Henikoff, who is a legend, certainly a legend in Chicago, but a legend in the Techstars community, started a fund called Math, which is very successful. He runs the financial modeling workshop, I think, for just about every Techstars program, even today. And he started one of the very first accelerators actually in the world in Chicago, even before Techstars existed. So it was amazing to learn from Troy And then the other managing director of that program, Brian Larson, he ended up becoming basically my best friend, you know, certainly my best professional, you know, sort of friend. And we ended up becoming co-founders. We started a company together called DraftBit. And we started a venture fund together that we started with a few other former Techstars founders in Chicago called Long Jump. So if it wasn't for that experience at Techstars and you know, engaging with the other founders in the program and meeting and being able to build a relationship with Brian, who knows what would have happened to me, you know, after that. So I've tried to give back, you know, to Techstars over the years. I've been a mentor for multiple programs. And I, you know, really just love everything that Techstars does for founders. And, you know, when this opportunity came up, I think what made it the right, you know, sort of time to, you know, join Techstars as an MD was I'm a Midwesterner. You know, I'm a kid who grew up on a corn and soybeans farm in central Illinois, lived in the Midwest my whole life. You know, I have, you know, family who've lived near Columbus for like going on 15 years. And I just kind of felt like this was the sort of program, given the partnership with Ratmir and Ohio State, that could actually really stand out and make a difference in the Midwest, because we've never had this kind of sort of convergence of all of the, you know, kind of history and excellence that Techstars bring to the table, plus the founder profile of someone like Ratmir to come in and support, you know, our founders and bring his network, you know, into the mix. And, you know, one of the, you know, top five largest public universities in the United States, and with one of the top medical centers and top, you know, sort of automotive research center and, you know, many other areas of excellence around their faculty and staff, you know, research initiatives. Like, I just felt like this could be a very, very special Techstars experience. So that's what brought me here.
That's awesome, man. And so welcome to Columbus. Guys, now we have an overview of the program, how the program came to be and what the mission is. And now you know the managing director as well. But after this break, we're going to dig into the program itself and what companies who are enrolled in this accelerator can expect. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages. This episode is brought to you by Rev1. Rev1's mission is to help entrepreneurs build great companies. As you navigate the waters of business entrepreneurship, you don't have to go it alone. A strategic partnership with Rev1 connects innovators to the talent, customers, space, and funding you need when you need it. Get started with Rev1 Startup Studio by visiting rev1ventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is rev1ventures.com. 614 Startups Nation, you are listening to the 614 Startups Podcast with my very special guest, Tim Grace of Techstars Columbus. All right, Tim, the people have heard the overview. They got to know you a little bit. Now we have to talk about the program itself. So how do companies join Techstars Columbus? And what are you looking for in the companies that apply?
The first answer, easy one. You go to techstars.com/apply and you choose the Ohio State Columbus Accelerator and you fill out an application. And typically an application is, you know, we ask some questions about the business and kind of where you're at and, you know, what the business model is. And, you know, we ask, you know, it's nice sometimes to have, you know, teams introduce themselves, you know, over video. And, you know, if you have a pitch deck, we'd love to see that. But it's relatively straightforward. So that is how you apply. We run everyone through that process. So the nice thing, and I did this with Long Jump, our fund as well, having an application process really just makes it easier to level the playing field. Like, everyone has to go through it, no matter where they came from, no matter what relationships they had, no matter whether they got a warm intro or not, like, doesn't matter. Just apply and you'll have exactly the same shot at getting you know, attention from us than someone else who potentially is more connected or whatever. In terms of what we're looking for, I mean, I really think some of this is maybe mildly cliche, but I'm going to say it anyways, just because it's just true. And that is, one, the founders make a huge difference in the selection process. Like, we are investing very early. You know, some companies have not launched a product yet. Many have, but are, you know, have very nascent traction or, you know, or proof that what they have created is really adding value in the world. You know, it's a risky, investing in early stage companies is a risky asset class for a reason. And so one of the best ways to de-risk that is to pick the right people to bet on. And I think we tend to look for, you know, folks that are incredibly mission driven, that are passionate, who absolutely just can't see themselves doing anything else other than building the company that they're working on, because they can't continue to live in a world where a solution to the problem that they're attacking doesn't exist. And like, those folks tend to have some experience with the problem. You know, sometimes it meant they worked in a certain sector or, you know, had some sort of professional experience that led them there. Sometimes they just had a personal, very personal connection, you know, to the problem. Either they experienced themselves or a family member, you know, someone, a loved one in their life, you know, suffered from something that their company is intended to try, you know, to solve. So that's one. Another, and I think this one's very important for people to understand about what a program like TechStars is looking for and kind of what people who are taking, you know, kind of outside equity financing from investors, is we typically are looking for companies that can be very large businesses. We're looking for, you know, companies attacking problems in big markets that, you know, can carve out, you know, clear space to become, you know, something that is a category defining, you know, sort of household name in whatever sector it is they're going after. Not necessarily a household name for, you know, just you and I, but, you know, but something that, you know, becomes the Kleenex of whatever category, you know, that they're operating in. And not every business, you know, is on that trajectory. Not every business, which tends, you know, there are many, many really strong businesses, and, you know, only a very, very few have the potential to become a big business like that. And so we tend to try to look for, you know, places where we can squint and see that potential, you know, in companies, and, you know, founders who do a good job in sharing that vision and sort of painting that picture for us, I think are the ones that tend to do well, you know, in sort of our application process. And the last thing I'll say is I think something about the founder profile for people participating in accelerator programs that's like a little bit different than, you know, someone purely like, hey, I'm going to write early stage check and you're going to go run off and operate the business and, you know, I may never see you again, versus you're going to come participate in person in this program for 13 weeks and you're going to be alongside, you know, 11 other companies and potentially 20, you know, 30 other founders. I do look for people who I think can, you know, truly take advantage of everything that sort of experience has to offer and be like incredibly additive to the experience, you know, for the other companies. Because I think like it only like multiplies the impact of what you can, you know, get from the program if you have a bunch of founders who all have like the kind of DNA to succeed in a setting like that.
Yeah, so I'm curious, right? So the skill of curiosity, I'm going to practice here with some of these questions. Good. So you talked about picking people. TechStars is this mega organization. Is there a formula for picking people at TechStars? Because the people component is so important that you listed it first. Is there kind of managing directors, here's a little something to help you with your people picking, or is every managing director, including yourself, tasked with building their own system for picking people?
So obviously the history of, you know, the thousands of investments that TechStars has made, clearly there are some, you know, general shared learnings, you know, that come out of that, you know, kind of get shared amongst all the MDs and all the program teams. So, you know, certainly there is, you know, some of that. Like we would be, you know, silly to not sort of lean on, you know, historical data in that respect. That said, it's still, if we or anyone else had the magic formula, data-driven formula, in order to be able to identify certain attributes of people and, you know, that had strong predictive power on whether or not they were going to build, you know, large, great companies, I think like that I think that would, be like sort of the magic, the magic pill.
That would be the next $1 billion company, right? Somebody who could like figure out how to pick people right. All the time, accurately.
And I'm not foreclosing on the chance that Techstars becomes that eventually, right? Like we definitely have a unique data set that would allow us to potentially become that, you know, that sort of business. And so I don't want to just like, you know, kind of throw that out as a possibility. It just isn't the truth today. And so there is a lot of there is a lot of subjectivity, you know, to this. And I think it's one of the subjectivity that's inherent in, you know, picking people is like one of the unfair things about, you know, early stage investing. It's part of the reason why we have such disparities in who gets, venture capital dollars, in sort of, you look at founder demographics, et cetera, is because people pattern match off, you know, certain experiences that they have. And, you know, the people who are making investment decisions, if many of them have the same set of experiences, then the pattern matching that they're going to do is going to, you know, kind of be only amongst the things that are familiar to them. And this, I think, is why it's so important to have, you know, many, many more people from, you know, different backgrounds, you know, be sitting in the investor chair, because the pattern matching they're going to do is going to end up being different than, you know, what I would do, or, you know, another colleague of mine or whatever. Like, we all have our own perspectives. So I'd be lying if I was saying that there wasn't, you know, a lot of subjectivity to it. But I think that there are ways for us to be better as an industry in managing around that by just putting, you know, more of the right people, in positions of decision-making power as investors.
All right. So let's do some simple market math. When you say potential to be a big company, everybody thinks $1 billion, right? It's like Dr. Evil, $1 billion. But some simple market math that says, hey, if we hit a certain trajectory for this business, that's a win for us. Do you guys do market math in that way? Meaning, if there is an exit at Y, that's a win, right? That's a great investment. What's some simple market math on that?
I mean, the obviously like the more colloquial, rule of thumb here is, you know, to potentially, you know, have $1 billion, valuation business. I think that isn't, but that is sort of a cop out answer, because a lot of the math depends on, the assumption on the $1 billion outcome being necessary assumes that companies are raising like large and progressive rounds of capital over their life, leading to to them becoming a $1 billion company. And so, you know, early stage investors get diluted, you know, so much from their original investment by all these, you know, future rounds of capital, that you have to be that big, for your earliest investors to, you know, sort of, get whole, or you might hear this, return the fund. And so it depends on the company trajectory. Like, we could get an incredible outcome on a company that, you know, ended up, you know, selling for $100 million if they never raised any other capital outside of the, you know, the investment from Techstars. And so I think, you know, you need to be able to get to a place where you're very large. Let's use 100 million as a very, very rudimentary, entry point. But how large often depends on like the path you take from a fundraising perspective. So I think, folks like us at Techstars, we have to project forward, different scenarios and assume like, oh yeah, you know, these sorts of companies are going to raise a ton of capital. These may not raise as much. And so these outcomes might be okay for this sector, but maybe, you know, less okay, you know, for another sector, if that makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. And so this is for the audience as well, right? These, don't get caught in the cliches, guys. Don't self-disqualify here, okay? We want you, if you have a business idea and you are changing the world, you're building product, you're building your team, take advantage, like Tim says. He's looking for founders who are willing to take advantage. So put your hat in the ring and see if you could be one of these great companies at Techstars Columbus. So you guys are opening things and you're looking for companies from everywhere. You're not just looking at Columbus, Ohio companies. And so what can companies expect if they apply and eventually they become part of a cohort? What can they expect to learn, or what are you hoping for them to accomplish during the time that they're in the accelerator?
I kind of have like a big mantra, kind of overarching, value prop, I guess, for us in the program. And it really all centers around momentum. I believe that momentum, generating momentum in any sort of business is the key to unlocking whatever it is that you want, in the future, whatever milestones that you are trying to hit, whether it's a milestone around, customer growth and sales, whether it's a milestone around attracting new hires or new people to the company, whether it's a milestone, around fundraising, et cetera. If you can demonstrate momentum, that like looking back at, let's say, the last 3 months of whatever your, company has experienced, then you will disproportionately increase your ability to get those things, that you're looking for. So if, coming in and doing the Techstars Columbus program, we are going to lay out a framework to help assess sort of where you are on the momentum, sliding scale, and work with you over the course of those 13 weeks to get to a point where you exit the program with those tailwinds, and how to communicate those tailwinds effectively to others who you want to compel around, again, buying some, being a customer of the business or joining the team or, writing you a check as an investor.
And what are some, I'm sorry to interrupt. What are some momentum KPIs? What are those momentum KPIs?
You, perfect transition, because I was just about to try to jump into that. Because everyone, I think, looks at revenue and says, or I suppose if you're like a consumer, app or consumer business, like sometimes it's engagement or, usage, et cetera. Like it can be that. It absolutely can be that. But sometimes it's something else. Like, for example, healthcare is an industry that there are a lot of checks and balances around getting your product to market. It's not as easy to just throw up an app in the app store and get a bunch of users. So the momentum metrics for, a business building, in the healthcare sector, is around, pilots, or it's around, proof of efficacy, of your solution, those sorts of things. Like, those are the proof points that you need to generate in order to, have people say like, wow, okay, yeah, that company's got two pilots, Wexner Center is on board, Nationwide Children's Hospital is on board. And they're through those pilots, they've done, 1,000, sort of trials of whatever it is, that they are looking to bring to market. And like the efficacy looks really strong, through, all of that. Like that can be momentum, for that sort of business. So it doesn't always have to be, revenue or very specific sort of, user growth metrics. It can be even product driven on some level. Like if you can prove that as a very small team that you can iterate very quickly on product and learn and run hypotheses in a very tight way, then you're able to experiment, rapidly. That is incredibly valuable data, for others to make decisions about whether they want to invest in you, or be a part of your team or whatever. So it depends on the company, it depends on the sector, but those are the kinds of things that we look for.
So real quick question then, it is possible to have 10 companies in the accelerator and all of them be on slightly different tracks based on what momentum means to them.
Correct.
Right. It's not a one size fits all thing. You might have somebody who momentum for them really means getting Nationwide to accept them into a trial. Right. And if at the end of 13 weeks, they started without a trial, at the end of 13 weeks, they have a trial, that's momentum. Right. Because that trial means XYZ for that company.
Yep.
Okay. That's fair, guys. So this is not a cookie cutter thing.
Exactly.
All right.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Wherever you're
follow up, it's not cookie cutter. It's very reactive to the companies.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I love that adaptability within the program, right? That the program is adapting to the founders and what they need and what their goals are and what they need to accomplish over that time period. So we already touched on the length of the program. So at 13 weeks, how many of these cohorts are you planning to do every year?
So we're going to do two per year. So the first cohort begins March 11th, and that'll run through early June. And then the second program this year will start in early September and then run through, November, early December. So, and then we'll repeat that cycle again for the next couple of years.
And how many companies per?
12 companies per cohort.
Okay, great. So 24 companies a year are going to have the privilege of being called Tech Columbus. What do you call them? Alums, graduates?
Alums, yeah. That's usually
alums.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. And so what are the benefits? Why should they subject themselves to what I know is probably a very rigorous 13 weeks, right?
Oh, it's fun.
What are the benefits of going through it? All right, fun, yes.
It's rigorous, but it's also fun. Uh-huh. And I'm not the one who makes it fun. Like Danny and Gabby on my team, they're the ones who, like founders, will actually enjoy spending time with. Or me, they're just going to, you know, be like, oh yeah, he's the guy that tells us we got to do better at X, Y, and Z. But I think that, you know, the benefits are really the mentorship is a huge part of the benefits of any TechStars program. It's like you get exposed to like 100, quality mentors, both in and outside of the Columbus ecosystem. Like these are investors, corporate leaders, subject matter experts, practitioners as engineers and marketers, product people, salespeople, et cetera. And you are able to build relationships with a small handful, of those folks over the time that you're in the program and beyond. And like, we really, really focus on, trying to connect the companies with the absolute best mentors that are going to help them meet those momentum goals, that we talked about earlier. The other thing, that we spend a lot of time on is, preparing them for fundraising. I think in this climate, I'm certainly not going to, skirt around the reality of where we are in 2024. And, it's difficult out there. It's a hard fundraising climate. It's unclear when things are, the pendulum is going to swing back, sort of the other direction. Probably will never go back, or at least it'll be a long time for it to go back, the direction it was in 2021. But I think, for that reason, we are really working, hard with our founders to identify the right sort of fundraising story, narrative, and path for those, companies so that, they are prepared to stay alive, through that sort of experimentation, phase of their business before they have proven, that they have something of value to the market and, they're able to kind of hit a repeatable growth, engine. So, those are some of the biggest pillars. And we have a bunch of other content and programming that we kind of surround them with to, sort of round out, their sort of growth, as founders and early team members.
All right, Tim, listen, I'm sold, man. I want to go start a company just so I can apply to TechStars Columbus
and get a load of this experience. To a world changing media company. Let's do it.
Okay. All right, Tim, I'm going to take you up on that. Challenge. I'm going to get my stuff together and make sure I get my application in. All right, folks, listen, if you're not as sold as me, I don't know, check your pulse. But while you're checking your pulse, I got to pay some bills. So we got some messages from some sponsors. We'll be right back for our final segment. Stay tuned. This episode is brought to you by KJK. Tired of the billable hour? KJK has a solution. The KJK GC Advantage program offers businesses comprehensive legal services in the areas of employment, corporate services, real estate, trademark, intellectual property, and estate planning, all for a set monthly fee. KJK serves as their clients' partners in business, not just their lawyers. Along with cost certainty and predictability, the KJK GC Advantage program gives clients peace of mind, knowing their projects will be handled quickly and efficiently, maximizing the return on investment on their legal spend. So don't go it alone. Let KJK help. Learn more by visiting kjk.com. All right, folks, welcome back. If you've made it this far, that means, listen, you might soon be a TechStars alum. All right. But I want to revisit this, Tim, because in Columbus, Ohio State takes all the oxygen, right? They are so important to our ecosystem. And by them making this kind of investment, it says a lot. It says that they are committed to being a startup supporter and making sure that Columbus is a startup city. So what does it mean for TechStars to be powered by The Ohio State University and have the support of the likes of Rat Mir and Peter Moeller over at OSU?
I mean, honestly, it is like you kind of put it perfectly when you said, you know, it takes the oxygen. Like they are, you know, sort of the reason why this program is special. Since the minute I, you know, kind of set foot in this job, you know, in September last year, like I could not have felt more support from everyone across the Ohio State ecosystem. You know, from folks on the, you know, the College of Medicine and the Wexner Center. Like I've had, you know, multiple senior people there actually spend time, you know, with companies that I am interested in bringing into the program to help them understand, you know, the benefits of, you know, what working with Ohio State could look like. I've had, you know, all the folks, you know, from the entrepreneurships from the Kenan Center, like Cheryl Turnbull and her team, Paul Reeder, Arnab Nandi, like there's so many people inside the OSU ecosystem that like have raised their hand to support in a variety of ways and, you know, are going to be big unlocks, you know, for our founders because like they understand how everything operates inside of this university and can, you know, kind of, you know, lubricate the process a bit for our founders to get access to everything that Ohio State has to offer them. And so, I mean, I can't say enough good things about how committed that everyone at OSU has been, you know, to make this program a success. And 100% it would not be, you know, the same caliber of success if it wasn't for their partnership and their willingness to kind of open doors for our founders, you know, that would be harder to open, frankly, you know, if they weren't so committed, you know, to success. And Rat Mir, I mean, I talk to Rat Mir regularly. He's going to be a mentor in the program. He's going to, you know, do a founder story for, you know, our folks. He's an LP in many, many venture funds and has a lot of relationships that, you know, he's already brought to bear to help, you know, find and, you know, source companies and also obviously folks that can potentially be, you know, follow-on investors in some of the companies that come out of the program. So, I mean, truly, their commitment has been superlative.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I know they're doing Cheryl. Big shout out to Cheryl. Cheryl's been on the show. Big shout out to Paul. Paul's been on the show. And big shout out to Shireen. Shireen's going to be on the show soon. All right. So this thing is turning into a Ohio State alumni festival over here. But we got to support our university. Not just on the football field, right? But when it comes to business and all the innovation that the university is aiming at bringing to market. All right, so I know the application process for or deadline is passed for cohort one. So cohort one starts in March of 2024. Do you have all 12 companies in the bag, right? And when is the big announcement, man? So we could freak out about who's actually going to be part of this inaugural class.
We are close to having the 12 companies in the bag. Perhaps if we were doing this podcast a week from now, I could answer that question a little bit more definitively, but we are very close. And there, what I can say, I can't say much about who the companies are, you know, because we definitely want to make a big splash when we announce this. And I don't want to take away from, you know, from the power of said announcement. But I'm excited because there's going to be a blend of companies that, you know, have been part of the Columbus ecosystem, you know, for a while and are building here already. And some folks that are coming, you know, from across the globe, you know, from other parts of the US, from outside the US, you know, who are super excited to come to Columbus, and they're building across a number of different industries and sectors. So can't wait for the announcement. The announcement will probably be in early March around the time when our program starts on March 11th.
Okay, it's going to be a 6-1 Floor Startups exclusive. You guys heard it. You heard Tim say that, right? We're going to get the drop on that announcement. All right. So if, you know, listen, deadline's already passed. Audience is excited. They want to apply. So what do you like to see in between the start of a new cohort and prior to the opening of the new application process? Like, what kind of engagement do you like to see from interested founders? And then how do they get a hold of you? How do they start engaging with you and your team if they have more questions or they want to connect?
Great. A lot of great points there. A lot of great potential questions here. So just so everyone knows, you can apply. You can start applying for the September cohort. I believe on March 4th is the date that applications open again. But even if you, even if it's yet, we got a month or so until that time, you can actually, if you go to techstars.com/apply, you can actually, you know, say, hey, notify me, you know, when applications open and put in an email and we'll send you a notification. So you can, you know, don't have to remember whatever random date I said on a podcast. So definitely go to techstars.com/apply and you can get a lot of info about the application process that's coming there. I think in terms of the things that, you know, we're looking for, you know, my team is kind of boots on the ground, you know, in Columbus now. It took us a little while from when the program started to kind of to build the team and kind of have them here, you know, in the local market, but we're here. And, you know, we have an office that's on the OSU campus, on the innovation wing of the campus. And, you know, we are going to be putting on events and doing other things, you know, in not only just between now and when the program starts, but throughout the program where we want to engage, you know, the community here, have, you know, folks that are interested in learning more about the program come in, you know, spend time with us, you know, et cetera. So you will, you know, see a lot of that, you know, in the coming weeks and months, you know, from our team. And so if you want to try to, you know, kind of stay in touch on all of those things, if you go to techstars.com/apply and go to the Ohio State, Techstars Powered by Ohio State program kind of accelerator page, there's a way that you can put in your email address to kind of get newsletters from us on, like, you know, information about some of those events, you know, things upcoming. You can also, you know, email, you know, me and my team. I mean, I'm pretty down to put my email out there. I'm tim.grace@techstars.com. And you can definitely email me. I may route your request to someone on my team. So don't be offended if I do that, because now I've invited potentially a lot of inbound, but I'm happy for that because I want to meet people who want to be mentors in the program, who want to get involved, who are interested in, you know, potentially applying, you know, to the program. Like we know it takes a village. And so please do reach out if you have questions or, you know, or want to get involved in some way.
All right, Tim, is there anything you wanted to cover that we haven't covered? Because I'm going to close this thing out with my final word. Anything else you want to say to the people?
I want to say to the people that, like, I know you already know this. You know, if you're part of the Columbus ecosystem, you already know this. But you have the kindest, most supportive, most energetic, you know, startup community that I've ever been a part of. When I took this job, I could not have anticipated the, like, literally, like, multiple hundred, you know, people who reached out to me on LinkedIn, who sent me emails, who, like, you know, reached out to a friend of a friend who, you know, wanted to, you know, try to meet me and, like, express, like, their excitement for the program, to express their desire to get involved. Like, I'm, like, totally overwhelmed. There are still people that me and my team have not gotten back to yet who reach out to me in the fall. And I apologize if I haven't yet. We will. It's just the backlog is deep. And that's just evidence of, like, what a special community that you all have built here. And thank you for, you know, inviting us, you know, in to be a part of it and, you know, to celebrate, you know, what we can all do together here.
Thank you so much, Tim, man. Welcome to Columbus. All right. It's good to have you. And I'm glad that we gave you a warm Columbus welcome like you deserve. We're happy to have Tech Columbus here. Tech Stars Columbus here and all the work that you guys are going to be doing to bring innovation to the city. All right, folks, that was my conversation with my very special guest, Tim Grace, Managing Director of TechStars Columbus. Let me leave you guys with my final word. He talked about three things that he looks for, right? He looks at the founders, they look at the market, and then he really wants to see founders that take advantage. And Techstars Columbus is an opportunity. My challenge to this audience is, are you going to take advantage? No more excuses. Not in 2024. Whatever idea you have, whatever business you're building, whatever problem you want to solve in this world, there's an opportunity at The Ohio State University for you to take advantage of. All right, folks, that was another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. Until next time, peace. That's a wrap, folks. You can find this and all our episodes on our website, 614startups.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and write a review. If you'd like updates sent directly to your inbox, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website. To engage in the 614 Startups community, follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 614 Startups on all platforms and join the conversation. For sponsorship opportunities and collaborations, email us at info@614startups.com.